This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Parshas Vayetze. So today's shiur is going to be a subject about Sefer Bereishis in general. But we're going to examine a number of interesting Ma'amari Chazal on Parshas Vayetze specifically and throughout Sefer Bereishis. These are Ma'amari Chazal and Rashi's that I'm sure we're all familiar with. But sometimes the more familiar you are with something, the less you understand it, the less analysis you give it, the less you give it serious thought, as the Masos Hashem writes, Milsa Dolei Rami Alei De'inish Lava Daite, something that person doesn't pay attention to, he doesn't really think about. So sometimes, the Ma'amari Chazal that we're most familiar with, we have the least understanding of. And here are a few, case in point. The beginning of the parasha says that Yaakov Avinu was running away. He was listening to Rivka, to scram from Esav. He was listening to Yitzchak. He was looking for a shidduch. And he runs out. He leaves Beersheba. He's on the way to Charan. He gets to the Har Abayis. Vayishka v'amokoy mahu. And he sleeps in that place. V'amokoy mahu. In that place. Says Rashi Loshen Miyot. Ba'oisoy makom shachav. In that place he slept. Avol yudalid shanim. But the 14 years, Sheshimesh. Beis Aver, that he served his Rabbeim in Beis Aver. Not that he learned. It's not enough to learn. It's not enough to come to a shir or to learn from a Gemara. You have to serve the Rebbe. You have to service the Rebbe. You have to hang around the Rebbe. Otherwise, even if it's not me. Loi Shachav Alayla. Otherwise, Loi Shachav Alayla. He did not sleep at night. He did not lay down at night. Shehu Oisek B'Torah. Because he was learning Torah. It's very interesting. Rashi, here we have Yaakov Avinu spent 14 years of his life. Presumably, this was something we're proud of. Presumably, we take pride in the fact that Yaakov spent 14 years learning in Yeshiva Shem Be'Ever. So how many psukim are dedicated to these 14 years of Hasmada in Parshas Vayetze, the parsha that it occurred? No. No psukim. It does not dedicate even one pasuk to it. How many words are dedicated to the fact that Yaakov Avinu spent 14 years learning in Yeshiva Shem Be'Ever? No words. How many letters are dedicated to recording that Yaakov Avinu spent 14 years learning in Yeshiva Shem Be'Ever? No. The Torah gives it zero real estate. What does it do? It says, he slept in that place. No kidding. Wherever you sleep, it's that place. You can't sleep in a place that's a different place than the place that you're sleeping. What does it mean? Vayishka b'makom mahu? In that place he slept. But the 14 years that he served in Yeshiva Shem Be'Ever, he did not sleep at night. So just say it, black and white. Yaakov lamad b'yeshiva yudalid shanim. Just say it. By the way, just as an aside, vayelach Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva vayelach Harana. No, he wasn't going to Haran. He was going to the Yeshiva Shem Be'Ever. So it should say, vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva vayelach yeshiva. He's not going to Haran, he's going to yeshiva. Says the Chida, not true. He wasn't going to yeshiva. By the way, what should a person do first? Learn Torah or get married? Oh, very good. So the Gemara in Kedushin Av Chav Tes in the days says it depends. Now the Gemara makes the case for both. On the one hand, how are you supposed to learn if you're married? You know, Rechayim b'tzavaroi v'yasek b'Torah. On the other hand, it's preferable to get married. This way you'll be able to learn b'kedusha. So the Gemara says, halan v'halahu, the way Tosis learns. It depends if you're independently wealthy or not. In Bavel, they were poor. So in Bavel, they had to first learn Torah, and then they could get married because they didn't have money. But in Eretz Yisrael, Tosfos says they were rich. So in Eretz Yisrael, they got married first, and then they went to learn. Says the Chida, that's exactly what happened to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was an Oysher Muflag. So therefore, he had absolutely no intention of going to the Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever. He's like Eretz Yisraelnik. And therefore, he was going to get married in Padan Aram, and then afterwards, he was going to go to the yeshiva. So, Vayetze Yaakov Mi Be'er Sheva Vayelech Harana. But then Eliphaz took his money, so he became like a B'nai Bavel, so he had to take a detour and stop off at the yeshiva. But that wasn't in the cards originally, says the Chida. Anyway, back to the ranch. So, the question is, Rabbi said, why doesn't the Torah say that Yaakov Avinu was learning for 14 years? And actually, there are three Rashis in Sefer Bereishis that teach us that Yaakov spent 14 years learning in the Yeshiva Shem Be'Ever, and every time Rashi points out that Yaakov was learning in Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever. It seems like we're trying to hide the fact that Yaakov was learning. We never say it explicitly. For example, in the end of Parshas Chayisara, Ve'ela Shnei Chaye Yishmael, it gives the years of the life of Yishmael. It says that Yishmael lived for 137 years. Says Rashi, Amar B'chia Baraba, Lamanimnu Shnoisav Shal Yishmael. Why enumerate the years of Yishmael? Kedei Liyachis Bahen Shnoisav Shal Yaakov. In order to calculate the years of Yaakov's life. From the years of Yishmael, we could figure out that Yaakov, not learned, was Meshamish, B'veisever Arba Esrei Shana, because otherwise we have a missing 14 years. Again, we want to learn that Yaakov spent how many? 14 years learning in the yeshiva. So say he spent 14 years. I need to know how long the Pera Adam lived, from which we're going to figure out that Yaakov, the last thing anybody wants to know is how long Yishmael lived. No, you know why it says Yishmael lived 137 years? That he was Yadoy Bakov, Yad Kol Boy, 137 years to figure out that Yaakov spent 14 years in the yeshiva. So I have a very simple etzah for the Chumash. Just say Yaakov learned 14, and then we don't need to know how long this Para Adam lived. And Rashi repeats it in Toldos with one added detail. Rashi in Toldos says, Hare Chaserim Yedalid Shanim Halamadata Sha'achar Shekibel Habrachos Nitman Bebesever Yedalid Shanim. Yaakov wasn't just Loimed, he wasn't just Shemesh, but he was Nitman. What does Nitman mean?
Hiding.
He was hiding.
Hiding.
So question number one is, every time the Torah says Yaakov was learning, it doesn't. It says something else, says A, so I can figure out B. I don't think it's that embarrassing. I don't think it's, what is it like? What do you do for a living? So a guy is learning in yeshiva, he says, I don't know, I sell insurance. I mean, I would think it's a source of pride that Yaakov Avinu spent 14 years learning in the yeshiva. But, secondly, Yaakov Avinu, he's hiding in the yeshiva. Now what does that mean, he's hiding in the yeshiva? So let's you know, imagine you were Esav for a moment, and you're looking for Yaakov Avinu. So where are you going to check exactly? Where are the big hot spots for Yaakov Avinu? Okay, first we're going to go to the pool halls, we're going to go to the movie theater. Oh, I don't know, where could Yaakov Avinu be? I give up. I mean, it's no secret, Yaakov's an Ishtam, Yoshev Ayolam. Rashi says, Yeshiva Ayol Shel Shem, V'Ayol Shel Eiver. So basically, there are two choices. So where did Yaakov come up with this ingenious hiding spot to hide out in the yeshiva? That's where he's been his entire life. Oh, Yaakov needs to hide. So where does he hide? He's in his seat, and then he puts a tissue on his head. What kind of hiding spot is Yeshiva Shem Ve'eva? That's where he spent his entire life. And where was Esav looking exactly? Yeah, it's not like he had options. He didn't go to Panovich, he didn't go to Brit. He hid in Yeshiva Shem Ve'eva. So what's going on over here? So number one, the Torah doesn't want to tell us that Yaakov was learning. Number two, he's hiding out in this yeshiva. So these questions, most of the questions we're going to ask this morning, come from the Sefer Sam Derech of Reb Simcha Mordechai Ziskind Broida, the Rosh Shiva of Hebron, Knesset Yisrael, who was Nifter in the year 2000. He lived from 1912 to 2000. And he has a Sefer Sam Derech, which is primarily Yunim on the Ramban. He was a great Baki in the Ramban. And he asks, number one, why every time the Torah talks about Yaakov learning, the Torah doesn't say he was learning. We have to figure it out. We have to make the yukim. And number two, what kind of hiding spot is it that Yaakov was in the yeshiva, Shem Ve'ever? That's like, where's Reb Chaim Kanievsky? He's hiding in his house. You know, he's been in the house for the last 90 years. He should remain Ad Me'ev Esrim Shana. What kind of hiding spot is this? Yaakov Avinu's in the yeshiva, Shem Ve'ever. This week's parasha enjoys a phenomenon that very few parashas enjoy. It's not so well known, and that is, it's actually, the parasha is closed up. It's the parasha Susuma. Everybody knows about parashas Vayechi. Parashas Vayetze is also closed up. Why is it closed up? Says Toisvis. The Das Hakemi Valia Toisvis says, Vayetze Yaakov, Lefikach, Parasha Zu Susuma. Therefore, this parasha is closed up. Mipnei sheyatza b'tzina mipnei Esav. He went out secretly because of Esav. So, because he went out secretly from Esav, the parsha is closed up. Now, why does the parsha have to suffer because Yaakov went out secretly? Okay, it's nice, good for Yaakov went out secretly. Now the parsha has to be, what does the parsha being closed up got to do with Yaakov going out secretly? Why is the parsha affected? So you'll say, oh, it means it's a remez. A remez to the fact that Yaakov went out secretly is the fact that the parsha is sealed up. Look at number 6. The Baal Turim says, Yesh oimrim sheparsha zesesuma, v'hatam lefi sheyatza b'seisar. He went out concealed, ubarach v'hechave, and he fled in hiding. Again, why does the parsha need to be sealed up? Because Yaakov went out hiding. Furthermore, we know we encounter the same phenomenon in Parshas Vayechi, but Parshas Vayechi is sesuma legamri, which means there's not even, you wouldn't even know it's a new pasuk if you read Parshas Vayechi. Right? Parshas Vayechi begins, there's only a space of words between the end of Vayigash and the beginning of Vayechi. And Rashi wants to know, why is Parshas Vayechi sealed up? Says Rashi, Lefi Shekiva, number 8, Sheniftar Yaakov Avinu, Nistemu Einayim V'libam Shel Yisrael, the eyes and hearts of Klal Yisrael were sealed up, Mitzaras Hashibud, Shehizchilu L'shabdam, that they began to subjugate them. So just because Klal Yisrael is being enslaved, now also the parsha has to suffer. What is the parsha being closed up got to do with the suffering and the bondage of the Jewish people? What is the connection between the sesima of Parshas Vayechi, asks Rav Simcha Zisel Breida, and the closing up of the eyes and heart of Klal Yisrael? So now we encounter two Rashis. I think we're all familiar with these Rashis. But when you hear this Kasha, at least I know, I kick myself. You know, why didn't I think of this question? These are some of the two most inexplicable Rashis in all of Chumash. I don't, until you hear the question, Mustama, we never thought of it. And once you hear it, you think, what's Rashi saying? What in the world is Rashi saying? Okay, the end of Noach. Vayamos Terach b'Charan. Terach died in Charan. Rashi says, what? Terach died in Charan? Does anybody know, how old was Terach when he died? He's 205, good. 205. How old was Terach when Abraham was born? He's 70. How old was Abraham when he left Haran? 75. So how old was Terach when Abraham left Haran? 145. So what does the Torah mean? Terach died, he still lived another 60 years. How could the Torah say Terach died, but Terach's alive, he's walking around? How could you say he's dead? It's like somebody once wrote a letter to the Torah Tamima, and he addressed the letter, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. So Tartmima said, he's very happy that he's alive at reading this letter, and that the bracha that the writer wrote did not come to fruition, you know? So anyway, Anyway, so says Rashi, really, you know what it means, Terach died? After Avram left Haran and came to Canaan, and he was there more than 60 years. So Rashi has a kasha. It says Terach died, but he didn't. Answers Rashi, it says he died, but he didn't. You're right, he didn't really die. It means he died eventually. Because it says Avram was 75 when he left Haran, and Terach was 70 when Avram was born. That's 145. So that means there are another 60 years left to Terach's life. Frek Rashi, so why would the Torah write that Terach died? Get a load of this. Shelo yehei hadavar meforsam lakoil, so that people shouldn't know that Terach died. V'yomer, because if they're going to know that Terach died, they're going to say, Lo'kiyem Avram es kibidav. Avram did not honor his father, he just left an ailing, sick father. So therefore the Torah just says that he died, so that people think that he died, so that people don't know that Avram left a sick father.
Old man, old.
An old. Can I ask you one simple question on Rashi? The Torah wrote that he died so that people shouldn't know that Terach is still alive. Which people exactly are we worried about? We're about us? that we're going to criticize Avram for leaving an old father, so because we know that Terach is alive. So therefore the Torah writes that Terach died. Why would we criticize Avram? You know why Avram left an old father? Because God told him to. Vayemar Hashem al Avram lech lecha. Elamai, obviously what Rashi means, is so that the people alive in the times of Avraham do not criticize Avram and say, Avram, how could you leave your sick father? It's not right, it's not derech eretz. You know, you're the man of chesed and you're leaving a sick father. So the Torah doesn't want Avraham's contemporaries to criticize him, how could you leave your father? So therefore the Torah writes that he died. So ask you just one simple question. Those guys walking around in Mesopotamia, you're telling me they don't read the Mesopotamian daily. They don't read the Charon Herald. They open up the Art Scroll Chumash, and they say, oh, Terach died. So Terach's walking by, and they said, Terach, you know, we're not bothered that your son left you, because you're really dead. So Terach says, Reb Yid, you know, or Reb Goy, Reb Ovid Avodah Zarah here. I'm alive. I don't care what it says in the Stone Chumash. First of all, I don't know, where did you get the Stone Chumash from? It wasn't even written yet. And even if you somehow made a Art Scroll did pre-orders back then also. So even if you did a pre-order on the Stone Chumash, you're telling me people got their news from the Stone Chumash? That's why it's called the Stone Age Chumash, right? People got their news, he likes that one. People got their news from the Chumash, but Terach's walking around. No, but no one's going to criticize Avraham because the Torah says that Terach died. They didn't have a Torah, and even if they did, they ain't reading the Torah to get the reality. Here you have a guy, he's sipping coffee with Terach. Terach, how could it be that your son just left you? Terach says, nah, it's not a big deal. Because really, you think I'm alive, but the Torah says I'm dead. So since the Torah says I'm dead, I don't want nobody saying bad about my son. What's going on here? What's Rashi talking about? You thought of this question, right? You thought of this question. I'll tell you another kasha, next week's parasha. So the pasuk says, Vatamas Devaira Meinekes Rivka. Devaira, the wet nurse of Rivka, died. Vatikover mitachas lebeisel, tachas ho'aloin, vayikro shemoi aloin bachos. They called it the plain of crying. You ever wonder? You know, we talk about Chaye Sarah, we talk about Rivka dying, Rachel dying. What happened to Rivka? How come the Torah never says Rivka died? So Chazal say, this pasuk is alluded to the death of Rivka, that here Yaakov Avinu, Nebuch was Nizbaser, about a second Avelos, not only about Devorah, but also about his mother. Aye, why doesn't the Torah say that Rivka died? This is the reason why it hides the day of her death, so that people don't curse the womb that produced Esav. So since we don't want anyone to know Rivka died, because what's going to happen? People are going to come to the funeral, and Yaakov's out of town. Yaakov's, you know, in Haran. And you're going to have this guy with a big bushy red head sitting there, and people are going to know, who's the Chayara in the front row? And people are going to say, this is Esav. Yeah? So, and she was the mother? She was the mother. And people are going to curse Rivka. So therefore, we don't say that Rivka died. This way, nobody knows that Rivka died. Really, nobody knows that Rivka died. So when people don't see Rivka walking in the street anymore, or in the grocery store, they're not wondering where the lady is. At the funeral, who exactly did they think they were eulogizing at Rivka's funeral? See, nobody knew she died. Did Yitzchak know she died? Rivka, can you bring me breakfast? And he's sitting there for 30 years waiting for her to bring the breakfast? Nobody knew she died. What's going on over here? The Ramban says further. You know why the Torah doesn't say Rivka died? Because Yaakov wasn't at the funeral. Esav wouldn't go to the funeral. And there's nobody to bury her. So if nobody knows she died, do you know who's going to bury Rivka? The B'nai Ches are going to bury Rivka. It's going to be B'zayon. So to avoid the B'nai Ches burying Rivka, the Torah hides that she died. So imagine like this. You know, you're walking down and you're walking where they live in Be'er Sheva. And the truck, the car is running by. You know, we're sorry to tell you about the Levaya of Rivka Imenu. No, people are saying, what are you talking about? It's Narishkeit. She's alive. You know, so what do you mean she's alive? It says in the Yated Neman that she died. No, we don't listen to the Yated Neman. We only read the Stone Chumash. And in the Stone Chumash, it doesn't say Rivka died. I ain't going to a funeral that's not reported in the Chumash. Yeah, but the newspaper said she died. And the loudspeaker says she died. And the Pashkavilin said she died. No, we only follow what it says in the Chumash. What's Rashi talking about? Yeah? So here's a real clincher. Here's a real clincher. We know in Parashas Va'aloischa, three tragedies, three unfortunate events occurred back to back to back. The first one is Vayisu Mehar Hashem. They ran away from Har Sinai, Ketinoik, Habareach, Mibesa Sefer. Then you have Vayihom Kimisoininim. And then you have these two little psukim. Vayhi bin Saya Ha'orain, Vayomer Moshe, Kuma Hashem Yafutsoi Vacha, Vanucha Yemar Shiva Hashem Vasavasa. And they're surrounded by upside down nuns. And Halacha Lamaisa, we know that those two psukim, which consist of 85 letters, are considered Sefer Bifnei Atzmam. Ad Kedei Kach, that we paskin, how many Svarim are in the Chumash? Chatzvu Amudeha Shiva. To the extent that the Rosh Hash asks, so what's everyone saying? Chamishei Chumshei Torah. There aren't. They're Shiva Shavuei Torah, right? They're seven books. To the point where the Rosh Hash says, why are we saying there are 24 books in Tanakh? There should be 26 books in Tanakh. But that's how we pask in Lamaisa, that there's seven books in the Torah. Bereishis, Shemais, Vayikra, Bamidbar, before Vahivin Saya, Bamidbar, Vahivin Saya, Bamidbar, after Vahivin Saya, and Devarim. To the extent that if somebody has a Sefer Torah, and the letters are rubbed out, and you have 85 letters that still remain, it has Kedusha Sefer Torah, because a Sefer is considered a Sefer when it has 85 letters. Ad kedei kach, that we hold halach l'maisa, that there are certain mistakes, that if there's a mistake in one part of the Sefer Torah, you could still read from another Sefer. In other words, there are certain kinds of mistakes that if they're in Bereishis, you could still lane Shemais. And therefore, if there's a mistake in Bamidbar before Vayihi ben Saya, you could lane that Sefer Torah in Bamidbar after Vayihi ben Saya. But that's the opinion of Rabbi. But not everybody agrees with Rabbi. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in the Gemara and Shabbos, number 15, disagrees with Rabbi. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, it's not a Sefer Bifnei Atzmai. It was uprooted from its place, which should be in the beginning of Bamidbar, and it was stuck in and injected over here. Why? Kedei lahavsik bein peranos rishana banashnia, in order to interrupt between the various unfortunate events. Says Ramban, why do we need to inject two psukim between three unfortunate events? The Ramban writes in number 16, Vehivsik shaloi yiu shaloish peranios smuchais zulazu. It interrupts it, so you don't have three consecutive punishments back to back to back. Namely, Vayisu Mehar Hashem, Vayihi Ha'am Kemesoininim, and Veha Asapsef Asher Bekirba. Let's see one simple question. How did it occur? What's the reality of how it happened? What did it say in the Hamodia Wednesday edition? What did it say? It said how it happened. First they ran away from Har Sinai, then they were Mesoininim, and then they wanted Veha Asapsef. But the Torah rewrote the history, so it's not recorded that they sinned. Because otherwise we would be mukhsuk b'peraniyos. I don't understand. We were mukhsuk b'peraniyos. We did sin back to back to back. So who cares if it's not recorded that way? But aren't we more concerned with what happened than how it's reported in the news? So Marv Raboisai, what we learn from here is that no, we are much more concerned for how something is written in the Torah than how it actually happened. Now why would that be? Why would we be more concerned with the way something was written in the Torah than how it happened? So look at the Alkut Shemayni. The Alkut Shemayni says that the Torah existed 974 generations before the world was created. That's what we say. Davar, Tziva, Lielef, Dar, that the Torah was commanded in the thousandth generation. That means the Torah was given in the 26th generation from Adam, and the Torah existed 974 generations before the world was created. And the Ribbono Shel Olam was Darash, and he was Chiker, and he was Bachan, and he was Tziref, the whole Torah. He investigated, he searched, he probed, he analyzed every word of the Torah, and then he gave over the Torah. Im Amorais Hashem, Amorais Tahirais. Says the Yalkut Shema. You ever wonder why, if a Baal Kore, if he makes one mistake, you know, if he says Ba'a instead of Ba'a, right? 50 people want to strangle him. They want to kill him, right? They want to pick him up and throw him out the window. What's such a big deal? Such a terrible thing. I could think, a guy's talking by Chazaras Hashatz, it's like he's walking around shooting people in the shul, he's like murdering. No, that everybody lets slide. And the Baal Kore makes a little mistake. Everybody wants to strangle him. Says the Yalkut Shemoni, yeah. You know why? Called Dovar V'Dovar Shekava B'Toyra Imzaz B'Mimakoyma Ikima Kilkel as Kala Olam Kulay. Every word of the Torah, every word established in the Torah, if it would move one hair's breadth away, the whole world would be destroyed. So why is that? It's just a book. It's just a narrative. Yes, it's the Dvar Hashem. What you're telling me, if instead of it saying Vayomer, there would be a space between the Vav and the Yud, the whole world would be destroyed? That's right. Because there's a concept. Do you remember the Gemara says in Megillah on Daf Gimel? Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel. Yeah, here's a good lesson, right? In false advertisement. When it says in the Chumash, Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel, it was not written by Rabbi Yonasan Ben Uziel. When it says Targum on the Nevi'im, it was written by Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel, right? Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel did not write a commentary on the Chumash. The Chidah writes that there are two kinds of Targum Yushalmi. So in order to distinguish between Targum Yerushalmi A and Targum Yerushalmi B, they dubbed it Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel, but not because he wrote it. Okay, so that's what the Chidah writes. Everybody agrees to that. On the Nevi'im, Yonasan Ben Uziel is the Targum. So there it doesn't say Yonasan Ben Uziel. It's called false advertisement. When it says Yonasan Ben Uziel, it's not. When it doesn't say, it is. It's the same thing with Rashi. Rashi on the Rif is not Rashi. Rashi on Divrei Hayom is not Rashi. Rashi on Pirkei Avos, we'll put Pirkei Avos aside. On the Rif, on the Rif, on the what? Divrei Hayomim, and I think Pirkei Avos as well, they're not really Rashi. So why does it say Rashi? Exactly. Because it's not Rashi. But on Rashi in the old Perushim on Chumash, didn't say Rashi. Why? Because it's Rashi. Right? That's how the world works. Sometimes you see stiras. It's a stira between Rashi on the Rif and Rashi on Shas. No kidding, it's a stira. Because not a stira when they're two different people. That's not called a stira. But same thing with Yonasan Ben Uziel. Yonasan Ben Uziel wrote a parish on the Nevi'im. And when he revealed the parish on the Nevi'im, Eretz Yisrael shook 400 parsa by 400 parsa. Why did Eretz Yisrael shake 400 parsa by 400? Because it was not supposed to be revealed. Any aspect of Torah, if it is changed, if it moves, if it's altered, if something needs to be hidden and it's revealed, something needs to be revealed and it's hidden, the entire world would cease to exist. You know what that's analogous to? Imagine if the sun would move, you know, a couple inches closer to planet Earth, we would disintegrate. Imagine if the sun would move a few inches away from planet Earth, we would freeze instantaneously. But guy says, you know, what's the big deal? This little atom over here, we could barely see it. So I'm just going to separate the proton from the electron. It's not really a big deal. You can't even see what I'm doing anyway, you know? That would be the end of planet Earth, right? What do you mean? The answer is there are certain things that have such nuclear energy that if they change and they're altered even a tiny bit, the world would be destroyed. So if even in the physical world, moving the sun, even if you move the moon, the world would be destroyed. We would have tidal waves, and that would be the end of the world as we know it. If you move the moon away a few feet, the world would cease to exist. Kal v'choymer ben benoishu kal v'choymer. If you alter not creation, but the document with which God used to create the world, with what we call a stakel b'oraisa bara alma, the world would cease to exist. So God wanted Targum to be hidden. The day it was revealed, Eretz Yisrael shook like an earthquake. And therefore, says Reb Simcha Zisel Broida, we don't care how things happen. We don't care that we sinned, we ran away from Har Sinai, and we were misoinin him, and the Yasafsuf. But if the Torah would record in the blueprint of creation that Klal Yisrael sin, we would have a chazakah of chait, and it would be impossible to extricate ourselves from it. And therefore, in the original document, in the architectural plans, it says, sin, they even say, all right, sin, and we're good to go. Because it doesn't matter how it happens. What it matters is, what does it say in the architectural plans of creation? Says Reb Simcha Zisel Broida, Esav is looking for Yaakov Avinu. How's Yaakov going to hide? So you know what the Ibn Sham does? He takes out of the architectural plans of creation the fact that Yaakov Avinu was learning for 14 years. Every time the Torah would have liked to say it, it says it, but it doesn't. It's plucked out of the document. It doesn't say he learned. It says he slept there. We'll figure out he learned elsewhere. It says these are the years of life of Yishmael. We'll figure out Yaakov learned for 14 years. It doesn't say he was learning. Therefore, in the reality of creation, Esav checked Yeshiva Shem Ve'Eder from top to bottom a million times. Esav was looking in Yaakov's seat. He did not see Yaakov Avinu learning for 14 years because it's not in the Torah. And if it's not in the Torah, it's not in physical reality. And if you want to know why the Torah doesn't say Yaakov was learning, so that Yaakov could hide from Esav. And if you want to know why Parshas Vayitzi is sealed, says Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, I love Yaakov so much, I'm going to tamper with the architectural plans. I'm going to take these two parashiyos, and I'm going to nuclear fuse them together to create the physical reality that to the naked eye, nobody could see Yaakov learning. It's out of existence of the reality. So you say, but it happened. So I'll give you a mashal, another analogy to this. There's a famous kasha. You know, what is the most important fundamental principle in Judaism? At least according to the Mesilas Yesharim. Yesoid HaChasidus V'Shoresh HaAvodat Tmimah. What's the foundation principle of Judaism? Olam Haba. Olam Hazeh Doime L'Prayz V'Nei Olam Haba. That's what the Mesilas Yesharim says. To know Ma Chayvasei B'Olamai. So you would think that if Olam Haba is so fundamental, we would have at least, you know, if there are five parshiyos about the Mishkan, we should have nine parshiyos about Olam Haba. How many parshiyos speak about Olam Haba? No. How many prakim speak about Olam Haba? How many words in the Torah speak about Olam Haba? It doesn't appear. That's the kasha of the Kli Yakan in the beginning of the Chukaisai, so he gives 10 answers. Says of Aaron Kuller, the answer is very pashut. The one thing the Ribbono Shel Olam has to ensure about Olam Haba is ayin loy rasa lekim zu asecha. Nobody's allowed to see it. If it would be in the Chumash, then we would see Olam Haba, because whatever's in the architectural plans would be an open reality, and then it would defeat the whole purpose of creation. Hashem had to pluck it out of the document so that it's not in the open reality of creation, to be able to create the phenomenon of Ayin Lo Yirasa Lekim Zu Asecha. The same way God took Olam Haba out of the Chumash, He took out of the Chumash that Yaakov Avinu learned for 14 years. So just like Olam Haba is Ayin Lo Yirasa, Yaakov's learning is Ayin Lo Yirasa. That's a pretty elevated concept. That, by the way, this explains, says Rav Huttner, another interesting phenomenon. The Gemara says in Tainus, it's not in the sheet, on Hamad Beis, Yaakov Avinu Laimes. Yeah? So the Gemara has a simple question. V'chi b'chdi, saftu saftanaya, v'kavru kavranaya, v'masbeid masbedanaya. Yeah, what exactly were they doing at his funeral then? Why'd they pay the clever Kaddisha, the big bucks, if Yaakov Avinu lo imes? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mikra ani doiresh, I'm going to darshin a pasuk. It says, Ve'ata al tira av the Yaakov, hini mashach me'rochoy, v'zaracho me'eretz, merchake, ma bakish hu lezaroy, ma zaroy v'chayim, af Yaakov v'chayim. No, Abakasha. So, you know, they go to the Chevra Kadisha, says, pay up. So I'm not paying. Why? But he's in the coffin. Mikra ani doyresh. I have a drasha. Yeah, that's going to work. You're going to darshan that Yaakov didn't die. So he's sitting in a box, and they're eulogizing him, and they put him 6 feet under, and he paid big bucks for the Shemar Sampela. But since you have a nice drasha, he didn't die. Says Rav Hunner, very pashut. Based on this yisoid, Rav Hunner explains that they made a mistake. They thought when it said Yaakov Avinu Loimeis, it meant it says in the Chumash Loimeis. If it said it in the Chumash Loimeis, then we would see him Loimeis. We would see him walking around because whatever is in the Chumash is an open reality. Says Rabbi Yochanan, no, Mikra Ani Doiresh. I'm making a drasha. The reality of the world that corresponds to drasha is a reality that you don't see. So in the physical open reality, Avada and Avada, Yaakov died, and they eulogized him, and they buried him, and there's no question about that. He says, I didn't say the Chumash says Loimeis. I said we have a drasha Loimeis. So if it's a drasha, the reality corresponding to drush is Loimeis. The yesod is that the Chumash is not only a narrative, but it is literally the architectural plans of creation. Whatever it says here, you could see with your eyes. Whatever was intentionally omitted is out of the eye of open reality. Therefore, Avada and Avada, Yaakov, you know where he was? He was in Yeshiva Shema Ever. What was he doing there? Hiding. How do you hide in the most obvious spot? By having Hashem remove from the document the 14 years that Yaakov learned in Yeshiva Shema Ever. And the Ribbono Shel Olam made it a Hester B'toich Hester by taking Parshas Toldos and Vayetze, infusing them together and making them sealed. Now Yaakov's hideout is not apparent to mankind. Mavra Boisai, Terach was 145 years old. And the Torah wrote that he died. And Avraham left an ailing parent. And naturally, everyone in Mesopotamia, being Gavra LeGavra, should have been murmuring, how could Avraham Avinu leave his father? How could he do such a thing? They weren't even talking about the Rav's Drasha. They were talking about Avraham. They should have been talking about Avraham Avinu. But they didn't. Because Ribbono Shel Olam cast this Torah spell on them, that Ki'ilu, in their minds, Terach was dead, even though Terach was sitting next to them in Shul. They were not makir. They didn't have a hakara that Terach was still alive. Why is that? Because the Torah wrote, Vayamas Terach v'charan. And he could be walking around, and he could be crossing the street, and he could be in the shir with everybody else. Nobody knows that he's alive. And that's what Rashi means, that when Rivka died, the Torah didn't want anybody to curse Rivka's womb, and therefore the Torah didn't say that she died. So now what, you're telling me that people read the Torah to figure out the news, to know the news? No, nobody read the Torah. But the fact that it doesn't say that Rivka died means the concept of Rivka's death is nimna and withheld from the understanding and realization. It did not occur to people. It did not strike them that she died. And therefore, this was the protection of Rivka Imenu. I'll give you another example of this. Next week's parasha. It says that all the animals that that Yaakov Avinu sent to Esav, said he sent male and female. Yeah? Except by one animal. By what animal does it say? It doesn't say male and female. It says father and child. Which animal does it say that? The camels, the gemalim. Look at number 28. Gemalim meinikos shloshim. Ubenehem imahem. It says the camels and nursing camels, actually the mothers, ubenehem, and the children with them. Umer shagada ubenehem. It doesn't mean their children. Banaehem, their husbands. Zachar keneged nekeva. Because camels are modest when they have relations, like Persimulakasov. The Torah hides the fact that it was male and female camel. Instead it said female and their children, but it means the husband. Could somebody please tell me why randomly in Parshas Vayishlach the Torah is reporting about the modest habits of camels, b'shas tashmish amita? Like random, that's what we need to know now. We have this encounter between Yaakov and Esav, and the Torah says, by the way, you're probably wondering about the habits of camels, so let me just let you know that camels are very modest. No, it's the exact opposite of what we always thought. It's not the pshat that because camels are modest, therefore the Torah writes, Gemalei Meinikos. Because the Torah writes, Gemalei Meinikos Uvenayim, that's what created and instilled in the nature of a camel that it has this modest behavior. The opposite of what we would have thought. And therefore, if the Torah would write, Klal Yisrael sinned, sinned, and sinned, that would establish that that's our DNA, that's part of the fabric of creation, that Klal Yisrael are sunken in sin. And therefore, we could sin 1,000 times in a row, it doesn't matter what we do, it matters what it says. And if it says sin, and then there's a hefsik, we're good to go, we never develop a chazaka. Because what's more important than what happens in reality is what it says in the original document. The Nefesh HaChayim writes, how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world? These are the reverberating words. Istakil ba'iraisu bara alma. Look at number 22, third paragraph. The Ribbono Shel Olam looked in the Torah and He created the world. Ve'iraisu isbara alma. With the Torah the world was created. Dechsiv vo'eya etzlo yamayna. I will be to them as a craft. Ki bara kutshabrichu alma. When God created the world, de'ad La Isvere Alma Akdimas Oiraisa. Before the world was created, the Torah preceded it. The Chadbo Kuchabrichu Lemivre Alma. When God wanted to create the world, have a Mestakel Ba Oiraisa B'chomilo Mila. How did Hashem create the heaven and earth? Says the Zayar, He read the words in the Torah, Bereshis Bara Elohim Es Hashamayim V'Es Haaretz. Es Hashamayim, poof, the Shamayim came to be. V'Es Haaretz, the Aretz came to being. How did Hashem create the light? He read, Vayomer Elokim Yihiyar, Istakel B'Hayabar Mila U'Bara Es Ha'ar. And therefore, if you tamper with one word, if that Baal Koireh makes a mistake in one Nakuda, they're going to jump on him. Because if that's what it's going to say, the world would cease to exist. It's like the Yalkut Shemayni says, Ilu Zaz Mimekoimai Kima Kilkel Es Kaloilam Kulai. Yaakov hid, because it doesn't say in the Torah Yaakov learned for 14 years. Yaakov disappeared by Parshas Vayetze, being fused together with Parshas Toldos. Nobody knew Terach died, nobody knew Rivka died. Klal Yisrael are not Muchzik B'Peronis, because it doesn't say it that way. If I could add one small chiddush. Last week's Parsha, Ve'ela Toldos Yitzchak ben Abraham. Abraham Hoyledes Yitzchak. So we always read Rashi simply that why does it have to say Avram Hoyledes? If it says, Eilat Tol Yitzchak ben Avraham, good morning America, Avram Hoyledes Yitzchak. You know, we know that already. So Rashi brings down, the late Sonei Hadar said that Yitzchak, you think he come from Avraham? The guy's 100 years old. You know, Avram's not your father. Your father is Avimelech. May Avimelech nasar basar. So what did the Ribbono Shel Olam do? He formed the face of Yitzchak to look like Avram, so everyone was made Avraham Hoyledes Yitzchak. So we read, the Torah came after. God formed Yitzchak's face, and now the Torah is reporting that, by the way, God formed his face by saying Avraham Hoyledes Yitzchak. No! Now that we see this Yisoid, how did God, with what tools, with what mechanism did God take the face of Yitzchak and make it look like Avraham? The fact that it says in the Torah, the extra words, Avraham Hoyledes Yitzchak, that's how the Ribbono Shel Olam crafted his face to look like Avraham Avinu. More than this. Not only how something is written in the Torah, whether it's phrased a certain way, whether it's concealed, whether it's revealed, even the time of year that a certain parsha of the Torah is read affects the reality of creation. As we know, the Magen Avraham brings down that Erev Shabbos, Parshas Chukas, they decreed a fast day. He quotes in the Sefer HaTanya, not to be confused with the Sefer HaTanya, that on the sixth day of Parshas Korach, Yechidim fast, because 20 cartloads of Sfarim were burnt in France. So why don't we just fast on the day of the month that it happened, like every other commemorative event in Judaism, right? Why don't we just do that? The answer is because Yoim HaParsha Goyreim, yeah? Because they realized they made a Sheilas Chaloyim, And they saw via the heavens that this tragedy happened because that was the Torah portion for that particular day and that particular week. Okay, fine. So that means just because we happened to read the Chumash at that time about that portion, somehow the Targum that says Oizchuk HaZorah is related to Dog Ezerah Sairaisa, that caused the tragedy? Yes. The Torah is such that not only what it said in the original document affects reality, the timing of what we read at any particular time, the Ribbono Shel Olam foresaw from beforehand, and he adjusted it, and he arranged it, that if we're reading Parshas Vayetze the Shabbos, there's something about Parshas Vayetze that is creating the narrative of our history at this point in time. That's the aside. What? That's why what goes on in Eretz Yisrael has nothing to do with what goes on over here, right? You know, here we have one election, there they have multiple, right? So that's, you know, why is that? I can't tell you. But this is the Yisoid of Estaka Baraisa Ubara Alma. Now, it's a very revolutionary Yisoid, because one question that you could ask on this is, yet we know the Torah existed before creation, but it existed in the words that they have it after it happened? I mean, we know there's a concept that the Torah existed, but the Ramban says, before the world was created, the Torah were just letters. But the letters, they didn't necessarily take shape yet. So, it said, Vayamas Tarach B'charon before it happened? It said, Aloin Bachus before it happened? But this is the side of Reb Simcha Zitzel Breida. Certainly, it answers many, many difficulties throughout the Torah Shebichsav, and so Reb Simcha Zisal points out, look how much ahava the Ribbono Shel Olam had for the Avos HaKadoshim. Because you know, you can't tamper with the document. If you tamper with the document, it could literally destroy the world. This is an immutable document. But to protect Yaakov Avinu, the Ribbono Shel Olam is willing to take out that space. Now, you know, you can't take out a space. But for Yaakov Avinu, you could take out a space. You see the great Ava the Ribbono Shel Olam had for Rivka Yimenu. You could say things in a certain way to protect her. And the most important thing is that if we have the zechus to learn the Torah, this is the exact same document that the Ribbono Shel Olam opened up in Shamayim, with which He created us, with which He created the entire universe. It's Imrois Hashem, Amorois, Taharois, Kesef, Zakok, Shevasayim. So these are some of Neflois, Mitarasenu HaKadosha. Have a great day. Shkayach.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.